بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 7th of October in the year 2020 and inshallah to spend a session discussing the importance and immense virtues of serving one's parents. So this narration is recorded by Hafiz Abdullah ibn Asad Yafi rahmatullah alayh in his Rawdul Riyahin, page 233. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he revealed to Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam, ordering him to go to the seashore and observe an act of his omnipotence. Let's stop in the report. So, Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, obviously being one of the famous prophets, king prophets, Rabbul Alameen subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, go to the seashore and you'll see something amazing. Thus Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, he went there along with his companions, radiyallahu ta'ala, but he did not notice anything. Therefore, he ordered a jinn to dive into the ocean or the sea and bring information from the inside. The jinn did as ordered. When he finally emerged, he said, I could not reach the seabed, nor could I see anything. Let's stop in the report. So he gets to the seashore with his companions and there's nothing to be seen. So obviously, Allah the Almighty speaks the truth. So Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, he realizes there's something in the ocean. So he tells the jinn, he goes, go and dive and see if you can bring anything from the bottom of the seabed. He tries, he comes back, he goes, I couldn't reach the seabed, nor could I see anything. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam then gave the order to another more powerful jinn, who dived twice as deep than the first jinn. But he could also not dig up any information. So obviously there's strengths amongst the jinn. So maybe this was an ifrit, the strongest of the jinn. He goes twice as far into the sea. No look. Then Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, he gave order to his minister, Sayyidina Asif ibn Barkhiya, radiyallahu. Very shortly, Sayyidina Asif ibn Barkhiya, radiyallahu, produced a grand camphoric four-door white-colored oceanic dome in the blessed court of Sulaiman, alayhi salatu wasalam. So stop in the report. So look how strange, he's gone from a jinn to possibly an ifrit, and now he turns to a human being. And that human being was called Asif ibn Balkhiya, radiyallahu, and he was his minister. And he digs something from the bottom of the ocean, and there's no commentary how he does it. So how does a human being do that? We'll come to that. And what has he brought out? A grand camphoric, camphor. So camphor, like I've mentioned, it's made in the belly of the, which whale is it?
A sperm whale.
Right? It's made in the belly of the sperm whale, camphor. So this thing that he brings out is made of camphor. It's got four doors. It's white colored. And it's placed in front of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. One of the four doors is made of pearl. The other is made of ruby. The third of diamond. And the fourth of emerald. So it's just hard to even imagine what it is, but okay, it's got four incredible doors. Despite all of its four doors being open, there was not a single drop of water within the oceanic dome. So what's strange, the doors are actually open. But when they brought this kind of structure out, there was no water inside. Inside it was a handsome young man, dressed up in neat and clean clothes, and he was busy offering salah. After he completed his salah, Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam gave the salam to him and asked him the secret of his dwelling. So look how strange, he's offering salat, so obviously a prophet of God doesn't disturb a person offering salat. When he's finished, he goes, please tell us about this dwelling of yours. How on earth, what are you in this? How are you at the bottom of the seabed? So the man replied, O Prophet of Allah, alayhi salatu wa salam, my father was disabled and my mother was also visually impaired. I served them in that condition for 70 years. All praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My mother's dua for me at the time of her death was, grant my son a long, righteous and healthy life. Later, my father supplicated for me at the time of his death, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, enable my son to worship in such a place where even shaitan cannot interfere. It's all in the report. So he's explaining. So imagine how many people can say this. They looked after their mother and father for 70 years. And they're both, you know, disabled. One was physically disabled. The other, the mother, was blind or, you know, partially blind. And who passed away first? The mother. And her dua on her deathbed was, give my son a long righteous life and healthy life. Later, when the father's dying, his dua is even more strange. He goes, enable my son to worship in a place where shaitan can't interfere. So you're thinking, why is he making that? How is that going to get answered? Then he explained, after the burial of my beloved father, I came to the seashore where I saw this oceanic dome, and out of curiosity, I entered it. Meanwhile, an angel, alayhi salatu wasalam, suddenly emerged, took this dome to the bottom of the ocean. He goes, that's all I know. He goes, I entered. Next minute, I know I'm at the bottom of the ocean. Sulaiman, alayhi salatu wasalam, then asked the young man, what time did you enter the ocean? And the young man said, I came here in the blessed age of Ibrahim, Khalilullah, alayhi salatu wasalam. Meaning thousands of years have passed. So Ibrahim is the ancient prophet. Sulaiman is recent, alayhi salatu wasalam. Sulaiman, alayhi salatu wasalam, realized he had been living in the oceanic dome for 2,000 years. But he was still young. Not even a single hair of his head had turned white. Regarding his food, he said, every day a green bird brings something yellow in its beak and I eat it. It has the taste of all the bounties of the world and it satisfies my hunger and thirst. In addition, I remain safe from heat, from cold, from sleep, from laziness, drowsiness, loneliness, fear and horrors. Alhamdulillah. All praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So obviously he's been living for over 2,000 years. He needs to eat and drink. How do you get food? You know, only a click away, right? Who's going to bring him food? So the food's coming from Jannat. And he's eating. And he goes, I don't feel any problems whatsoever. Then on the request of the young man, and the order of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, Sayyidina Asif ibn Barkhiya radiyallahu picked up the oceanic dome and took it respectfully back to the seabed. So the same Sahaba who brought it out, he took it back. After he returned, Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam said, O people, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his mercy upon all of you. Did you notice how greatly the du'as of parents are answered? Thus refrain from disobeying your parents, O people. So what did the great Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam say? He goes, look at the du'as. Both the parents' du'as were answered. Even though you think, especially the father's du'a. He goes, do not disobey your parents. He goes, there's a lesson in this. Now go back all the way to the beginning of the report. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say to him? Go to the seashore and observe an act of omnipotence. Get out of the trank mode, right? Go to the seashore, observe an act of omnipotence. Allah Ta'ala didn't tell him, because you're going to see something amazing. Now, why didn't he tell him where it was? He could have said, it's at the bottom of the ocean, you're going to have to get some special help. Nothing. Go to the seashore. You're going to see something amazing. Because Allah Ta'ala likes effort, not trank, right? Effort. Think about this. I'm talking about a prophet. Some of you are dozing. You know, unbelievable state of affairs. Astaghfirullah. Right? So, sit up slaying. Hey, what? You sit. So Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He told Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, see an act of omnipotence. And don't doze in the circle. If you doze, I'll stop the circle and I'll finish it. Makes me sick when people doze. Your brother there goes to sleep sometimes, another one's dozing. You know, what sort of adab is this for the circle? Especially when you're talking about the prophets of God, alayhi salatu wasalam. So let's take a few valuable lessons from this report. Firstly, the power of some of the jinn, that they can dive to incredible depths of the ocean without any harm to them whatsoever. So if you look at this report, every part of it is authenticated by the Quran and the authentic hadiths. Every part of it. The jinn in the hadith says they dived into the ocean and there was no harm. Where is that mentioned? Specifically with regards to the Holy Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, it mentions in the Quran in two places. In Surah Al-Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, Surah 21 verse 82, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. وَمِنَ الشَّيَاطِينِ مَنْ يَهُودُونَ لَهُ وَيَعْمَلُونَ عَمَلًا دُونَ ذَلِكَ وَكُنَّا لَهُمْ حَافِذِينَ. And of the shayateen were some who died for him and did other work besides. And it was we who guarded them, i.e. from mischief. So let's look at this verse. So what does Allah the Almighty and Glorious say? Of the shayateen were some who died for him. So look how interesting. Allah the Almighty and Glorious says in the Quran that the shaytan are diving for Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. Diving for what? Allah Ta'ala is telling you something there. So you can mention a report. One of them did this and tried to bring this oceanic dome. He couldn't do it. And then the Quran says, and other works besides, it was we who guarded them from mischief. Meaning the shaitans, their nature is mischief. But Allah Ta'ala goes, I kept them in check for Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. In another holy verse, in Surah Sa'd, Surah 38 verse 37, Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. والشياطين كل بناء وغواص. And we also subjected to him the shayateen, including every kind of builder and diver. Look at these amazing verses of the Quran, if you reflect upon it. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? We subjected the shayateen to who? To Sulaiman. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? They built for him. Built. Built what? Masjid Al-Aqsa. Right? People say, where does it mention the jinn built the masjid? Read the Quran, your fruitcake. Right? And they were dive. He mentions it again. They were diving. So note, the jinn were subjected to him. And even with their strength, they couldn't get the dome. Think about that. So don't give them undue, you know, strength. They're limited. But who actually brought the oceanic dome? Secondly, the immense gifts that Allah the Almighty gives to some of His servants who are not prophets, like Asif ibn Barkhiya radiyallahu, who achieved with ease what even the most powerful jinn were incapable of. Think about that. Human beings are greater than the jinn. And yet people who haven't got knowledge, they go, no, the jinn are more, they got more taqat, more power. No, they haven't. They've only got more power if you are weak and you haven't got understanding. Asif ibn Barkhiya radiyallahu anhu, how did he bring this pearl out? Because a human being, we know, to the bottom of the ocean is impossible. You have to look at another verse of the Quran. Another famous example of this is when the Holy Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam requested that the Queen of Sheba's throne be brought to him all the way from Yemen to Palestine. So this is famous. So what happened? Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam said, who will bring the Queen of Sheba's throne for me? And what happened? Allah Ta'ala mentions two things. In Surah Al-Naml, Surah 27, verse 39, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Qala ifritum min al-jinn, said an ifrit of the jinn, ana atika bihi qabla an taquma min maqamik, wa inni alihi laqawiyun amin. I will bring it to you before you even rise from your council. Indeed, I have full strength for the purpose and may be trusted. So look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the time of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. An ifrit, the strongest of the jinn, he said, I will bring it to you, I, the throne of the Queen of Sheba, before you even stand up. I have strength and you may trust me as well. The qawiyun amin. But then what happened? The same sahaba, Asif ibn Barkhiya, he responded, radiyallahu, in Surah Al-Naml, Surah 27, verse 40, Audhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. قَالَ الَّذِي عِنْدَهُ عِلْمٌ مِّنَ الْكِتَابِ, said one who had knowledge of the book, أَنَا آتِيكَ بِهِ قَبْلَ أَيَّرَتَدَّ إِلَيْكَ تَرْفُكَ, I will bring it to you within the twinkling of an eye. SubhanAllah. There's the knowledge. He had knowledge of the book. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ الَّذِي عِنْدَهُ عِلْمٌ مِّنَ الْكِتَابِ, said the one who had knowledge of the book. He had some knowledge, some special knowledge. And he goes, I will bring it to you before you even blink. Who was this man? In Ibn Kathir's tafsir, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu said, this was Asif radiyallahu anhu, the scribe of Sulaiman. Just like Zayd ibn Thabit was for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his special scribe, Asif. How did he get this throne and how did he bring that pearl? In Baghawi and Ibn Kathir's tafsir, Yazid ibn Ruman, he said, rahmatullah alayh, he was Asif ibn Barkhiya, radiyallahu, a truthful believer. He knew Ismul Azam. He knew the greatest name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala didn't mention that in the Quran. He goes, he's got knowledge of the book. Yazid ibn Ruman said, he knew the greatest name and he would use it. And he would use it and Allah Ta'ala would make amazing things happen for him. So now, what name did he use? Have you got that knowledge? Yes, we have. In Qurtubi, in his tafsir, our beloved mother Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha relates that her majestic husband sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the greatest name through which Asif ibn Barkhiya radiallahu anha supplicated was, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, O the ever living, O the self subsisting. SubhanAllah. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, O the ever living, O the self subsisting. So let's look at this. How did he get that throne? He just did this. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, please bring it. And it came. Because before he could even blink. Now, how do we know that this is a correct tradition? Because our beloved messenger himself said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatest name is in three surahs of the Quran. Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah Ali Imran, Surah Taha. That's what the Prophet said, three surahs. Al-Qasim ibn Abdul Rahman, one of the sub-narrators of the hadith, he searched these surahs and he found the following. Surah 2 verse 255, Surah 3 verse 2, and Surah 20 verse 111, which all mention Al-Hayyul Qayyum. SubhanAllah. This is in Ibn Majah, Tabarani, Hakim, Tahawi, and Shaykh Albani, rahmatullah alayhi, states Sahih in As-Sahihah number 746. So let's look at this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he didn't tell you the names. He just said, you will find it in three surahs. Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah Ali Imran, Surah Taha. That's all he said. One of the people in the chain of the hadith, because I looked for it in those three surahs, and I found these two names. Al-Hayyul Qayyum. In Baqarah, it's in Ayatul Kursi. In Ali Imran, it's in the second verse. And in Surah Taha, Surah 20, is in verse 111. He goes, I believe it's this. Now, why is that important? Because look at the previous report. What was Asif ibn Barkhiyah using? Rahmatullah alayh. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. The hadith mentions that from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He knew it. So now a question goes to the mind, but when I use it, it don't work. The reason is that these names change, just like Laylatul Qadr. They're not fixed. These two divine attributes are found in famous zikrs given by our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For instance, if you notice, Astaghfirullah al-Azim al-Ladhi al-Hayyu al-Qayyum wa atubu alayhi. Astaghfirullah al-Azim al-Ladhi la ilaha illahu al-Hayyu al-Qayyum wa atubu alayhi. Isn't that? What did the Prophet say about that zikr? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because even if you flee from battle, Allah Ta'ala will forgive you. If you commit a major sin, you're running away from battle, why is Allah Ta'ala forgiving you when you make that zikr? Because you've used those two great names. And also, divine help. Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told his beloved daughter Fatima radiyallahu anha, say, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyumu bi rahmatika astaghithu aslih li sha'ni kullahu wa la takilni ila nafsi tarfata'in. That's a dua. Who did the Prophet give that dua to? His own flesh and blood, Fatima. He says, oh the ever living, oh the eternal, do not leave me to my nafs for the twinkling of an eye. Sahih hadith. Was Fatima left to her nafs for the twinkling of an eye? No, she wasn't. Because she made that dua. What's the first part of that dua? Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. Bi rahmatika astaghithu aslih li sha'ni kullahu wa la takilni ila nafsi tarfata'i. So you'll notice these two great names. And also our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when did he use these names? Badr. When he was in sujood. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu said, during battle, I saw him in sujood. In the makeshift hood was made for him. And he was saying in sujood, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. Help me Allah subhanahu. And Allah ta'ala helped him at Badr. But in our ancient history, Asif ibn Barkhiyah used that to bring the throne of the Queen of Sheba. Think about that. He used that to bring the throne of the Queen of Sheba. So note, what's Allah Ta'ala telling you? That true power, true honor is given to you when you study. Right? It wasn't the jinn. When you ask people what was part of the kingdom of Suleiman alayhi salatu wasalam, and a person goes, oh, he had control of shaitan. And why does he go straight to shaitan for? This is a fruitcake. Right? Because that shows that he thinks they've got power. Which one goes, he had Asif with him. And even if you say that, they'll say, who is he then? Right? Asif. You know who Asif is? No. Right? Asif. The one who's mentioning Quran. There's another Quran clue, you've got to explain it. Right? Because he was a companion of Suleiman. He was his scribe. Why is he special? Because he brought the Queen of Sheba's throne from Yemen to Palestine. You think about that. How huge and heavy was her throne? He brought it from Yemen to Palestine within a fraction of a second. How did he do that? He's a human being. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. That's it. Came. He got the dome. Look how Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam did it. He asked the jinn first. He was teaching the Muslims. He goes, go on, you ever go. Right? So he went, dive, came out. He goes, I tried, couldn't. If Reed goes, couldn't do it. Then what happened? Asif. Straight away. Brings it out. How has he brought it out from the bottom of the ocean? Because if Allah Ta'ala is with you, how can you be unsuccessful? If Allah Ta'ala is not with you, that's when you are unsuccessful. And it's that connection. And Allah Ta'ala simply says about Asif in the Quran, قَالَ الَّذِي عِنْدَهُ عِلْمٌ مِّنَ الْكِتَابِ, said one who had knowledge of the book. Allah Ta'ala is telling you something about him. In other words, because if you want honor, you get it from the Quran. Right? You get it from the book. What's the book for us? Old Testament. Right? The Quran. So Allah Ta'ala is teaching you something. What was the time in the Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam? I believe it was the Torah. I'm not certain. But I think it was the Torah that they were acting upon. But he had knowledge of the Torah given to him by Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. So note, this amazing report is not just about parents, even though that is the key part of the report, because that man was honored above others because of his serving his parents for 70 years. He was in a place where even shaitan didn't have access to him. Imagine somebody says that to you. Is there a non-prophet who shaitan doesn't have access to? You know, the first thing that will go through your mind is, are you Shia, right? And he goes, no, he's not, talking about Masoom. Which one would say, yes, there is a man. He might still be alive. Mm-hmm. We don't know. Has he passed away? You tell me. Mm-hmm. Right? And where is he? Mm-hmm. Bottom of the seabed, imagine it. Bottom of the seabed, Allah Ta'ala has given him a beautiful dwelling, rizq of paradise. And 2,000 years after he put him there, he honored him further by bringing him out for Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. Look how beloved he was to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah the Almighty, glorious, told Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, go to the seashore. You will see something amazing. 2,000 years later, Allah Ta'ala was still showing his love for that man. And what happened? He was brought out and he sees another prophet. Imagine Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Now he sees Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. And who knows, maybe he's still at the bottom of the seabed. What his name is, Allah Ta'ala knows best. So all I mentioned today was basically the beautiful report about the youngster who was put at the bottom of the seabed due to the du'as of his venerable parents. And there's many, many lessons we can take from this report. I've just touched upon the surface. There's other things which I'll mention tomorrow if we're still alive. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي الحمد لله اللهم بحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك وذكر الله كثيرا سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل من الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وواصل الحق